Blog Talk Radio.
All Pro Media Group Radio showcases professionals on a daily basis. Be inspired and listen to experts from around the globe share their accomplishments with you. APMG Radio, success at its finest.
You're listening to APMG. I'm Lucy, and today I'm pleased to introduce my special guest, who is the CEO of Group 50. It's my pleasure to welcome to the show Jim Gitney. Jim, thank you for joining us.
Lucy, thank you for having me. It's my pleasure.
So, Jim, your company, Group 50, focuses on consulting expertise. Let's start the show with you explaining to listeners, why do companies need consulting expertise?
Well, interestingly enough, over the last 5 years, but this trend's been going on for a long time, companies have been paring down their resources to the minimal number of people needed to run day-to-day operations. As a result, they don't any longer have experts in very specific subject matters or technologies, and in many cases need to rely on consulting companies to be able to provide them an outside view of the company's business environment to deal with the global complexity in today's supply chains and worldwide commerce, et cetera.
Now, I know today we're going to be starting a series, and we're going to be discussing five different topics. Tell us about these topics.
So Group 50 provides senior resources, former senior executives to work with our clients on very complex projects. And what we're going to talk about today is strategic execution, which 90% of companies don't do well. Manufacturing, which has become a big buzzword again recently, as the networks and data have shown that we're bringing stuff back to the United States. Exit planning and transition for privately held companies. If you sit and think about what I said earlier, global initiatives around complex supply chain, both buying products and selling products, and organizational development, which are, you know, that's the key to making sure that a company runs well and achieves its strategic objectives.
So let's start with strategic execution. What is strategic execution, and can you give me some examples of what you're talking about?
Sure, I'd be happy to. So just about every company or every organization has a need to put together a strategic plan. That set of activities that they want, that they aspire to, that set of goals and objectives that they aspire to, what they want to be 2, 3, 4, 5 years down the road. Interestingly enough, a study done a few years back by Kaplan at Harvard indicated that 90% of companies don't execute their strategies effectively. And you know, when we talk about executing major strategies, we're talking about things like mergers and acquisitions, developing global products, going global, implementing major new business systems, refocusing the company, restructuring the company, new businesses, et cetera. These are all major changes or major strategy changes inside of a business that require careful planning, communications, and support. Companies do it poorly because it is complex. It requires a tremendous amount of planning, but more importantly, it requires engagement of everyone in the organization. It requires that they are accountable to these strategies. It requires that these strategies are clearly articulated. And most important, it requires perseverance on the side of the management team in staying with the plan, staying with the implementation of these strategies. And most companies don't do that well. You know, we've all been brought up in a world of instant gratification, and if we identify something today, 3 years from now, it's kind of become old news. And so we work with folks to help bring them back and keep them focused on their long-term strategies.
What is the right order of activities for successful strategic execution?
Well, you need to have a clearly articulated strategy, that thing that tells me where I am today and where I want to be in the future. You need to understand as a business what I call are the organizational gaps and strategic gaps, so that you know what you have to do in order to implement your strategy, but you also need to know what's missing inside your organization in terms of people, skills, or structure. And, you know, the important thing is that once you've developed the organization's capability, you then need to focus on modifying business processes to support those strategies long term.
And who is responsible for this?
It's interesting. Senior leaders are responsible for it, the CEO and his or her staff, but the board of directors is responsible for it. Major stakeholders are responsible for it, customers, suppliers, and employees throughout the whole organization. And it sounds really complex, but it's not. If you choose the right order and you engage or involve everyone in the business, including the stakeholders, it's actually much simpler than it sounds.
Let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to continue on to manufacturing. I'm Lucy, and my guest today is Jim Gitney. We'll be back straight after the commercial break.
ATS Computers. They're a full-service technology company open since 1994, servicing commercial and residential clients. They strive on their reputation with the community. Their website is www.atscomptech.com, and their number is 631-474-4674.
You're listening to APMG Radio with my special guest, Jim Gitney, who is the CEO of Group 50. So, Jim, we're going to move now on to manufacturing. Tell us about this. What are the current trends in manufacturing and distribution?
So, interestingly enough, manufacturing has been the backbone of since the Industrial Revolution. It's what we do to create value. And the United States has done a lot of work outsourcing those activities. I was part of that in the 80s and 90s when I worked for Black & Decker and GE and other companies that outsource product. The current trends today are now that the cost differential between China and Mexico and the United States is continuing to get smaller and smaller, we're seeing that the changes in the cost structures are now allowing us to reevaluate whether it makes sense to bring manufacturing back to Mexico and the United States from the Far East. But also we continue, because of globally changing cost structures, we continue to always reevaluate where the most cost-effective places are to manufacture. Rapidly changing technologies give us significant opportunities in changing how we manufacture product and design product. And lead times have gotten to so short now because of all the great technologies out there that attempting to try and manufacture product in far off places around the world actually has become more difficult.
What are the what are the implications of these trends?
Well, the implications are that companies are rethinking their supply chains, their global supply chains, who they buy product from, where they source the product, and more importantly, whether they ought to be manufacturing the product or not. We're seeing in our business a lot of requests from clients asking us to take a look at whether it's more cost effective for them to bring product back to the United States. We have several clients who've been buying product from the Far East for a long time who have said, we want to bring it back, we want to be closer. And indeed, Walmart just announced a major initiative to bring manufacturing back in the United States for a lot of its products as well.
Now, for years, U.S. manufacturing hasn't been competitive. Is that changing?
Yeah, it's changed significantly for a bunch of reasons, you know, geopolitical, commercial, foreign exchange, economic, those kinds of things. And I won't even begin to go into all the reasons for that, but we just finished some work late last year for a client that indicated that the cost differential between China and the United States, which used to be 40-50%, is now down to somewhere between 7-10%, depending on the technology. And with significant inflation in labor in the Far East and also the changes in the foreign exchange, it's only going to be maybe a couple of years before we're at cost parity again, and that's going to be a huge, huge boon for manufacturing in the United States and Mexico.
How can companies take advantage of this?
Well, the way to do that is to look at the total cost of a supply chain, and that means how much does it cost me to, how much inventory do I have to have, what's the cost of capital for that, how much cost associated with shipping, quality, extra people to handle these resources on other continents, and look at the total cost. And what they'll find is that total cost, as it comes closer and closer to parity, they bring product manufacturing back to the point of consumption, what we like to call nearshoring. And that could be the U.S., it could be Mexico, it could be Europe. What that does is allow us to manufacture product closer to demand and closer to the requirements of the customer.
Well, let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to continue on with this series and begin talking about exit planning or transition. I'm Lucy, and my guest today is Jim Gitney. We'll be back straight after the commercial break.
855-451-MOVE.com. Their name is their number, 855-451-MOVE. They are a full-service local and long-distance moving company based out of Suffolk County, New York. Their number is their name. They hold an A-plus with the BBB and have been open for over 5 years. Their website is www.855-451-MOVE.com.
And we're back. You're listening to APMG Radio with my special guest, Jim Gitney, who is the CEO of Group 50. So, Jim, today we're now going to go on to talking about exit planning or transition. Why is this so important?
The United States has been known for a long, long time and has differentiated itself by its great source, an unending source of entrepreneurs. And there are over 2.5 million businesses in the United States that are owned by people who are over 55 years old. Almost 90% of those folks don't have exit plans put in place on how they're going to transition from their business either into retirement or into a different role, maybe a role inside the business of doing something that they really love to do, you know, the thing that made that business successful. And so in order to be able to successfully transition out of your business, you need 3 to 5 years, and you need someone to help you quarterback that plan. You need a personal strategy that says in 3 to 5 years I want to be able to sit on the beach, play golf, spend more time with my grandchildren. And in order to do that, here are the things, then I need a strategy for the business. Here are the things we need to do inside this business in order to make that happen. And you know, as we were talking about most companies not effectively implementing strategy in the first part of the radio show, this is true for privately or closely held companies as well. So they don't do it because it's not a priority, because they don't have time, they're too busy with their business. But the two most primary reasons for why those owners don't have a business plan or exit plan written down is because it's complex and it's emotional. I'm finally admitting that there is an end to my involvement inside the business. And many times they don't have, you know, a good team supporting them to be able to think it through.
What are the main components of a good plan?
Well, we'd hit on it a little bit, you know, the owner's personal strategy and the business strategy that supports it. Succession plans. You know, a lot of companies today are run by the founders of the company, and they still are the company. And founders need to put together succession plans to elevate people inside the organization or find someone else who's going to be able to run the business in their absence. They should have that anyway, whether they plan on retiring or not. Two other really important parts are developing a plan to minimize the taxation upon a liquidity event. If they're not careful, they could find themselves having a huge tax bill. But there are many strategies that they can take and need 1 to 2 years time in order to implement them that will minimize the tax implications of selling their business. The last piece is maximizing enterprise value. You know, when we talk to owners of companies, they say, well, we're going to become more profitable. And you go, yeah, that's great. That's important. But you also need to maximize the valuation of the company or the enterprise value. And what that means is you need to eliminate as much risk as possible so that a potential buyer doesn't discount the value of your company because of, you know, you being the only guy, person who can run it, or too much concentration with a specific customer, or a lack of intellectual property, et cetera. And thinking through these things takes time.
How does maximizing enterprise value affect the plan?
Well, it provides a much larger wealth component for the owners upon leaving the business, but it also gives the owners a lot more flexibility in choosing how they want to exit the business. If I don't pay any attention to this and next month decide I'm going to sell the business, I might be really surprised at how little the business is worth. But if I pay attention to it, put a plan together, put the right team of experts to support me in the implementation of that plan, I might decide that maybe I really don't want to sell the business. Maybe I want to do something different because we've been able to make the business that much more profitable and valuable.
And how does Group 50 fit in this market, would you say?
Well, again, we're about helping leaders of businesses create strategies and implementing those strategies. And so that's where we fit. And it's all about creation and implementation.
Let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to go on to global initiatives. I'm Lucy, and my guest today is Jim Gitney. We'll be back straight after the commercial break.
Where can you buy unique and beautiful gifts that will be remembered forever? What can you buy the friend who has everything? Well, it's simple, and it's only a click away. Just go to rageineden.co.uk for a selection of worldwide gothic and fantasy art from world-leading artists. Choose from the exquisite figurines, chic jewelry, amazing prints, or even one of the trendy t-shirts that are bound to make a statement wherever you go, even if it is just to the local supermarket. Visit rageineden.co.uk. Every garden has a corner in the shade.
You're listening to APMG Radio with my special guest, Jim Gitney, who is the CEO of Group 50. Now, in this series, we've been talking about five primary consulting factors. We've already covered three of them. I want to now go on to our fourth one, which is global initiatives. Why does such a small percentage of companies export? Because I know just from a fact that you had told me earlier, Jim, that 99% of the companies in the United States don't export, even though 70% of the buying power is international. So why do such a small percentage of companies export?
Well, you know, exporting requires you to do business someplace else. So if we're a manufacturer in the United States or in-country, what I like to call in-country, whether it's United States, Mexico, Brazil, China, we're very familiar with the rules and regulations of doing business there. When we start exporting, when we want to send product to another country, there's a whole bunch of things we need to know. We need to know what the product configuration needs to look like, what the rules and regulations are, what the imports requirements are, documentation for duties, those kinds of things. And it takes a little bit of work, but because of that and because of a lack of knowledge, remember what we had said earlier, most companies have pared down their resources to just what they need to operate day-to-day business. It comes across as a really big deal or really difficult activity, and it's really not, especially if companies have engaged folks to help them out who really understand the exporting process and the markets in which the company wants to export to.
Is this a U.S.-only issue?
No, it's worldwide. Companies from Brazil who want to come into the United States, U.S. companies that want to go out, the data is about the same no matter what country you're associated with.
And what would you say the biggest hurdles in exporting are?
You know, finding partners in country. Having worked for global companies like GE and Black & Decker and Sunbeam and others, I learned very, very long time ago that if you're going to sell product in another country, you want to have a business partner or at least a resource who understands how to do business in that country to help you get started. And it's the most cost-effective way to do it because you can decide to put your own resources in if the business grows large enough and is profitable enough. You need to understand brand and product management. Now, a lot of products that sell well in the United States don't sell well in other places, and vice versa. But with some minor changes, some minor tweaks, some minor changes to packaging, to the marketing message, oftentimes that's all that's required to be successful in another country.
What would you say are the biggest benefits?
Well, if you sit and think about it, where 70% of the purchasing power is international, your opportunity to grow sales and to be very specific about where you want to put your products are one of the biggest benefits. But just as we were talking about maximizing enterprise value, the ability to be able to grow your business and expand to other markets has a big impact on enterprise value. And it's something that small companies should consider as part of their longer-term strategy. I'm not suggesting that they need to sell a product everywhere in the world, but our experience has been that if a company manufactures a product, there is a demand for that product in other parts of the globe.
Let's take another quick break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking about the fifth primary consulting factor, which is going to be organizational development. I'm Lucy, and my guest today is Jim Gitney. We'll be back straight after this commercial break.
855-451-MOVE.com. Their name is their number, 855-451-MOVE. They are a full-service local and long-distance moving company based out of Suffolk County, New York. Their number is their name. They hold an A-plus with the BBB and have been open for over 5 years. Their website is www.855-451-MOVE.com.
I'm Lucy, and my guest today is Jim Gitney, who is the CEO of Group 50. So, Jim, our next consulting factor that we're going to go on to is organizational development. So what does organizational development mean?
When we speak with a lot of our clients, we hear from them that people coming into the marketplace or people who are available to come into the business, into their business, don't have the appropriate skill sets, don't have the appropriate, aren't aligned culturally, may not have the right attitude, just may not be a perfect fit. So the idea of organizational development is about creating a group of people inside of a business who have the appropriate skill sets, who are aligned culturally, and who are capable of being able to support the business in its implementation of its strategic objectives.
How good are most companies at organizational development?
Most of the companies we deal with, of course, one could argue that if they were really good at it, they wouldn't need a consulting firm. But even the companies who don't use consulting firms to help them out are not real good at it, because organizational development requires people to sit down and objectively look at how good are the people inside the organization. How well are they performing their objectives? How good are they in cultural alignment, et cetera? And that means that you have to make an assessment of someone, good or bad, and that tends to be things we as human beings don't like to do.
What would you say the key challenges are in organizational development?
Yeah, for many organizations, organizational development is one of those things you need to do and the results aren't obvious. You don't see them instantly. It's kind of like a continuous improvement, a slow grind that allows you to develop your organization and its structure, to teach your managers how to lead, et cetera, over a period of time. You will see results, but it isn't instantly. It also requires that you really understand the skills that are required and what your operational gaps and strategic gaps are, because you need to develop your organization in such a way so that you can effectively deal with them.
What benefits does a good organizational development plan actually provide?
Well, if you do it right and you're consistent about how you do it, you can expect that you're going to see a much more engaged workforce from the top all the way to the shop floor. They're going to be much more highly motivated because they're going to be involved in the execution of the company strategies, and they're going to understand how they contribute to that, and they're going to be willing to be accountable to it. You're going to find that they communicate much better with each other. You're going to find that there's going to be much lower costs in terms of the productivity of the organization and much higher worker satisfaction. And so those are all the things that are incredibly important for an organization to be able to effectively implement its strategic objectives. And we've done a lot of work in something we call the business hierarchy of needs, which outlines the steps that we need to go through in order to effectively implement strategy and to develop the organization and create a culture of strategic execution. And it's the topic of a book that will be published sometimes in Q2 called Stopping Short of Excellence.
There seems to be some common themes here. Just because we are coming to the end of the show, would you be able to summarize them for me?
Sure, I'd love to. I think effectively implementing strategy is all about clearly articulating your strategy, having all of the stakeholders in the company understand how they're accountable to them, and developing an organization who has the skill set and the motivation to move these objectives forward, who are asked to participate, who are motivated by the fact that they have a role in helping the company achieve a higher set of objectives. And what we've done at Group 50 is we've pulled together a series of consulting practices, workshops, and assessments that allow us to work with our clients through that whole continuum.
And how can people contact you to find out more about Group 50?
Well, they can go to our website, www.group50.com. Or they can contact me at jgitney, G-I-T-N-E-Y, at group50.com.
Excellent. Well, Jim, I want to thank you. It's been a pleasure having you on the show today.
It was all my pleasure. Thank you.
You've been listening to APMG Radio with my special guest, Jim Gitney. This show and many others can be found at allpromediagroup.com. Thank you all for joining us today. I'm Lucy, and you've been listening to APMG Radio.
All Pro Media Group Radio showcases professionals on a daily basis. Be inspired and listen to experts from around the globe share their accomplishments with you. APMG Radio, success at its finest.